Is Dell about to go private?
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. A decade ago, it was the biggest PC maker on the planet. But as it struggles to compete with Apple, Lenovo, and Hewlett-Packard, its stock price has been in a steady decline. Until yesterday, when Dell shares jumped 13% on the news that the company could be bought and retooled into a leaner, stronger company. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Dell lost bragging rights as the top PC maker to Hewlett-Packard back in 2006, and its stock has been suffering. In fact, the PC market as a whole is hurting, says technology analyst Chris Green at Davies Murphy in London.
Because their whole business model has been based around volume PC sales. And the simple fact is that the emergence of tablets, with more emphasis on lighter devices that do more in the cloud, the normal PC, the normal laptop as we know it, is just becoming more and more redundant.
Dell still has a shot at success as a smaller niche tech company.
There continues to be some very profitable, sort of low margin, low volume parts of the PC industry. The gaming market, for example, Dell invested a few years ago in a company called Alienware, who specialize in high-end PCs and laptops for gamers. So that continues to do well for them.
Dell has also expanded into technology services for businesses, another promising area for expansion. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We'll get a quarterly earnings report today from the luxury home builder Lennar. The company has been on a roll lately thanks to an improving housing market. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The number of vacant houses on the market has fallen dramatically, and that's an incentive for companies like Lennar to build more homes. Brad Hunter is chief economist with Metro Study, a housing market research company.
Now inventories are actually quite tight in about a third of the markets around the country.
The housing market still isn't back to normal, but analysts have seen modest, steady improvement for the past year. House prices have stopped falling but remain relatively affordable. David Crow is chief economist with the National Association of Home Builders. He says conditions are ripe for consumers sitting on the sidelines.
With people who have been waiting for 3 or 4 or more years to see those market conditions improve, and now they're taking advantage of that.
Mortgage rates are low, but there's a catch. In the wake of the housing bust, mortgage standards have gotten a lot tighter. That means fewer consumers can actually qualify for a loan. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, down 0.3% in Singapore, up just a hair right now in London and Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 18 points to close at 13,507.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
In Florida, Governor Rick Scott's Education Task Force has proposed a number of education reforms, including this controversial one. Until the unemployment rate drops, the state's public colleges and universities should incentivize students to pursue degrees most needed for Florida's job market by cutting tuition rates for majors like science, engineering, and math. Dale Brill is the head of the Education Task Force down in Florida, and he joins us from Tallahassee. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, spell this idea out for me. So let's say that I am a college student or a prospective college student who is thinking about becoming a major in piano, but I then decide that it's actually cheaper for me to become, what, an engineering major?
Well, one would hope and one would expect that majors are still decided based on skill sets, passions of those students, and what they really want to be when they grow up. It is this idea, though, of tying a smarter decision-making process. Because one of the observations we've made is that students and families are far removed from the examination that any economic decision of something of this magnitude that you would expect folks to have. We're trying to drive information and a market dynamic into the system where limited resources would prevent sufficient funding being applied across the institutions.
But isn't there a concern if you do something like that, that you're going to drive people into majors that are not their passion, that they're just going to go into something because it's cheaper and maybe they can't afford to do what they want to do and maybe what they would be best at?
Well, that's already happening. When prices are forced to be below what a market might drive, then consumers tend to make bad decisions. And so we have students across the board that are pursuing baccalaureate degrees that might be better targeted if they would look at much-needed associate's degrees or certifications. And there is a huge shortage for welders, land surveyors, and those types of folks that would fall just short of that expected four-year degree. So this idea of entering market dynamics of involving people in the decision before they make the decision to go to a four-year school can only improve things.
Now, there are some people who would look at this and say, you're too far in the weeds on this. The bottom line is everyone should have education through college. They need that to succeed in this world. And we shouldn't be talking about whether you pay $9,000 or $10,000 a year. It should just be free. The government pays for it. The taxpayers should pay for everybody's education.
Oh, I'm completely aware of that position. I think that position is naive of the fiscal limitations of an economy that still limps along. And just to underscore, our recommendation was first, fund it. Fund higher education at the level you expect them to perform. You could stop right there, and the folks that you just identified would be completely happy with our recommendation. We went further and said, however, if that funding is not available, what do you do?
Right.
We've got competing interests throughout the state of Florida. We thought it was our duty to look a little bit deeper than the easy part, which was to say, throw more money at it.
Dale Brill, chair of Governor Rick Scott's Education Task Force, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
And finally, save your nickels, because one nickel, a 5-cent coin, just sold at an auction for $1.4 million. Now, full disclosure, the nickel was minted from silverware belonging to Martha Washington back in 1792, but still, it's just a nickel. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.